Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I am your host. Jason, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Every time I watch the intro, I just get so happy.
Do you?
I'm really proud of myself, honestly.
Because you did a good job with it.
I did that shit.
Yeah. Nice, man. Hang on, I'm trying to get my...
What you doing, man?
I was trying to get my Facebook thing loaded up so I could see when people comment and everything like that. Okay. So what's been going on, man? Anything new?
Life, bro.
Life.
Yeah.
I got a new niece.
She's like a month old, and yeah, I've been hanging out with the fam a lot lately. School starts in August. We got Seattle in July. Fucking busy, man. So tired.
Seattle's coming up fast, man.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
For everybody who ordered the Kong Force One shirts, we finally got the last logo we needed from Chris Woolman for the 20th anniversary logo. So everything has been submitted. All the sizes have been submitted. We have paid the invoice. Oh my God, it was way more expensive than I thought it was going to be.
T-shirt, man.
I'm not. That just solidifies it. I know I told you last time. Next time I come up with a t-shirt idea, just tell me no. just so everybody knows, we legitimately do not make any money on these t-shirts. So don't think we're out here just,
He's lying. He's lying. We make money off of that shit. I got a pool. He got a pool. I have a pool guy. He has a sprinkler system.
I ain't making no money off these t-shirts.
Two Audis. Don't forget the two Audis, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, next time we do a t-shirt, it's going to be on the website, and we're going to do it that way just because it's going to be way easier for me. And it'll be way easier. And you know, the website is the cool place because it has everything that you need for the podcast. So the detailsolutionspodcast.com. It's going to have all the links to where you can find the podcast on social media. It's going to have the link to Apple. It's going to have the link to Spotify where you can go and listen to us. If you're not already listening to us, which I'm sure you are. We also have the preferred vendor page, which is our good friends who support us. And by doing so, you know, we give you guys a special little code to go and use and save some money when you spend the money with them. In turn, they'll spend money with us, and we give you that funny and hashtag money, money, funny.
Hashtag, baby. You gotta do
we should make the hashtag. We should make the money, money, funny shirts.
I have ideas.
Well, you already came up with the design, so we just.
Yeah, I don't like it too much. I got better since then.
Okay. All right. Well, you can do that. But yeah, the preferred vendor page, I mean, that's going to have, I mean, listen, our vendors have pretty much everything that you would need for a detailing business. I mean, if Car Supplies Warehouse carries just about everything. If you can't get something from them, it's going to be crazy. I mean, Auto Fiber, you know, has all the best towels. If you need a website, we've got you covered on that with Detailers Roadmap. You know, Viper Chair. I mean, Jesus Christ, saving people's back since, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Backs.
You know, if you need training, you need some business training, some business help. I mean, there's Rennie Doyle and Detailing Success. Yeah. You know, we can't leave out our good friend Davey P with O'Burke. You know, make some of the best compounds and polishes and stuff on the planet. So, I mean, like, come on. You really don't need to go to any of these
guys. If you haven't tried any of them, that's your opportunity to do that. And you get a discount to try.
Exactly. And then again, the merch store where you can't go buy t-shirts. That's where we'll put t-shirts in the future. Cause I'm kind of done doing these limited ones. Kong Force One's the last one. We did. And thank you very much to everybody. We did sell 61, which was more than I expected. I was hoping for 50 so we could get a good price break on the shirts. And we did 61, which is phenomenal. So I appreciate everybody doing that. And I appreciate all the vendors who chipped in to sponsor the shirt as well and help get us to the Air Force One project. All right, so we are live on YouTube. As always, every Wednesday and Friday, the YouTube channel is the Detail Solutions Podcast. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button, all that fun stuff. I know it's not as sexy watching us two as it is as probably watching our guest tonight and his videos. So when we dive into
Are you calling our guest sexy right now?
You know, I mean, call it like it is, bro. He's got some good videos.
Man, our guest is going to leave before he comes on.
I'm firing up the old TikTok again, the Detail Solutions Pod on TikTok. Just, I really don't even care if you guys watch it, I just want you to follow it. I just need to get to 1,000 so we can do some lives after talking with Wesley last week. You know, he was talking about when he went live, just how many more followers he got and gained and things like that. And for growing the podcast, I think that would be a great way for us because there's a ton of detailers on TikTok that probably don't know about us. And if we were able to do a live, you know, we could just get that many more people following us and helping to grow awareness of the podcast and things like that. So just please go follow it. Like I said, I don't even care if you watch it. Just go follow. Just
help Alex get to 1,000.
I want that 1,000 just so I can do
it. I'm going to make a commercial with that sad music. Where you,
the Sarah McLachlan music.
Yes, the Sarah McLachlan song, yeah. Angel or whatever it's called. Just of you needing that 1K.
right. Yeah. You could take that little plea right there and snip it out and then play it underneath.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. All right. So like, share, follow, subscribe anywhere you do listen to the podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review, just like with Google and anything else with your business. It does help put us in front of more automotive podcast listeners, which again, just helps us get more followers, get more listens, grow the podcast so we can do all the things that we want to do. So we're going to jump into our first commercial break and we'll be right back with RJ Wagner.
Tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
A lot of guys were generally trying out going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Get in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah. So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name's Alan Medcraft, and I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and check out. Use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper's giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
Yeah, that was a nice little change up.
That was a surprise.
That was a nice surprise?
Yeah.
So did you play a part in that or did they send it to you?
Oh, no, I played a part in it too.
Okay, nice. Did you come up with all the fanciness and they just sent you the audio or?
No, pretty much I told them, I sent them what I already had and they kind of just played off of that. And I was nice. Like, yeah,
great. Sweet, man. So we're here with RJ. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man, we're here. We're having fun.
Right off rip, I just wanted to say the intro was awesome. Jason, you've done I was wondering where everything had come from as far as the audio and the visuals. But that was really well put together. Did you guys have that recorded? Like, is that like your son or daughter that's doing the vocal? That's awesome.
It's my daughter. When she was like 9, so this was probably 5 or 6 years ago. So everybody's going to hit the fast forward button on this because we told this enough times. She was sitting around. She goes, you need a theme song. And she just like bust out with, I'm a detailer. And I had videoed it and put it on Facebook and then kind of forgot about it. Then we started the podcast and I don't know, I think we were 6 months in or something like that. We were a little bit in, and it came up in my memories. And so one of my buddies that I grew up with, in high school and everything, had gone on to start, a Christian, hard rock band called Fireflight. They were like Grammy nominated, like toured the world, like all this stuff. So I hit him up and I said, "Hey man, like, you know, you think you could like throw me together something with this or whatever?" So he's like, "Yeah, man." So he came up with the music and then he couldn't use the original audio. So I had to have my daughter like re-record it, which was like pulling teeth. Cause then she was older and thought she was too good for it. And so he put it to the music and gave it a, you know, cool effects and everything like that. And then we've used that for the longest time. And then with Jason starting to do all this like video stuff, for the YouTube, then that's where he took it and actually put like detailing videos to it to kind of make it look a little bit better. That's the story there.
We've come a long, long way.
I know.
I'm sure you can attest to that, you know.
Me personally attest to that as far as coming a long way? Or
was yeah,
that
yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because I always look back at, I think probably everyone looks back at where you start, you know, not really understanding where it's going to go or why you're doing it. But then, you know, in hindsight, you kind of realize that those months of tireless work where there's no compensation or there's no true direct accolades or you're not receiving the benefit of your actions yet. And for whatever reason, you're like, you know, I feel like this is right. And then in hindsight, when you look back at it, you almost look back at that time period extremely fondly, just because like it was like the calm before the storm and you don't know why you're doing it. And then it finally, you know, you finally achieve whatever you were hoping to. And you continue.
It's definitely one of those things. Like, I mean, Jason was my first episode. I mean, he was kind of, I always say he was my security blanket, right? So he was my first episode. And, you know, I look back on that episode and it's just so terrible. Right. but it's like you said, you know, it's that fondness of like, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was taking, you know, I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to start a podcast. I didn't know where it would go, what would happen with it. I mean, I didn't think, I mean, and next month we'll be 3 years in, you know, and not thinking that, you know, here we are being, you know, invited to different places and traveling around with it and, you know, having the guests that we have and, you know, it doing what it does kind of thing. So yeah, you're right. But let's kind of jump into that like with your YouTube.
Oh no.
What was that moment? Sorry, froze, man.
Oh, did I? Oh. What was that moment that, you know, that you were like, I'm going to start a YouTube channel, you know, like.
Yeah. So, it all culminated in there's a lot of luck that how we got here. So, in August of 2019, I still had a mobile detailing business, scraping gum off the seats of minivans in the hot sun. And, I had a high school friend that I had reconnected with at Chipotle one day. I walked in, saw him there and he's like, "Oh, you know, I watch detailing, videos on YouTube. You know, I'd like to come learn." So he was working part-time. I'm talking like 15 hours a week with me. And he kept saying, and he had had a past, I guess, on social media where he had gained a little bit of popularity. It kind of is like, it wasn't like talent, I guess, that had gotten him his popularity. He was just like a really good looking kid. And he had a lot of, honestly, a lot of girls that just were very fond of him. So
Matt Ryan, anywho, you were working with Matt Ryan? Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. This is like in the early advent of like, I guess, influencers. So he was doing like a lot of, I think live streaming where, you know, people would, basically, you know, toss money and watch him talk about God knows what or play video games. So anyways, right. He had a background in that, and I'd been detailing cars for a while. So we worked together for, I guess 5 or 6 months until, and we had actually talked about making, you know, YouTube videos, and I had always told him, that, you know, hey, if we ever start this, it's not like we do one video and then a couple months later we put on it's like we either are going to be consistent and, you know, pursue it until it's detrimental to, you know, some other facet of our life, or we're not going to do it at all, because, you know, there's no point in wasting time if you're not going to actually give it 100% of your effort. So so the first video I think we had tried to film must have been fall of 2019, and very quickly realized that the filming process does not move at the same speed as the detailing process is. So you kind of figure that, you know, everything takes about 150 to 200% longer because you have to change the camera angle and the setup and lighting, and you know, you kind of have to strategically plan, you know, how you're going to move about this car so that it's entertaining. And truthfully, we took influence from, you know, people like the Detail Geek or Larry, you know, over at Ammo. So we kind of had like a base of how to do it, but at the same time, once you try and figure out how they're operating, it's very difficult. So and it was also on a customer's car where, you know, I really only had about 5 hours to allocate to it on a mobile, at a mobile mobile site offsite, and anywho, that did not pan out necessarily nearly as well as we were hoping. So anyways, fast forward to February of 2020, we had basically said like, this needs to be not a customer car. This needs to be a separate car, completely independent from the detailing business. And then we'll allocate a whole entire day to it. And I think it was a Volkswagen Jetta. It was his brother's car. Anywho, it probably took us 9 or 10 hours to film what would otherwise have been a 3.5 hour interior detail.
Oh, wow.
And you know, posted our first video February 31st of 2020, and then had put out you know, every week thereafter a video. And I think we've maintained that schedule almost without fail for about the full 3.5 years. Sometimes we've had to do like a compilation to fill the gap if we couldn't find a car, but we've been consistent the whole time. But the main we were very lucky, as the world was unlucky, in that you know, we posted 3 videos and our 4th video came out, March, I can't remember the exact day, but let's say March 25th of 2020, and as we all know, that was pretty much the start of the lockdowns. Yeah. So now the government is mandating everyone to stay home, no one can go to work, you know, you really can't even go out, you're not supposed to be going outside and quarantining. So you know, all the attention went to Netflix and YouTube and other streaming platforms. So our 4th video caught fire and ended up getting, you know, over 1 million views and maybe like a 30-day time span, which was a bummer because during that time YouTube was taking forever to monetize channels. So we missed out on, you know, maybe $4,000 or $5,000 in ad revenue, AdSense revenue. And for us at that time, we were like that's like, you know, that was absurd, and then we were so bummed that we missed out on it. But we had the confirmation at that point that like, hey, what we're doing is it's working, and you know, pretty much that moment on, we were like, well, we're gonna figure this out one way or another, and you know, 3.5 years later, here we are. So it's there's a lot of luck, but then a lot of hard work that followed. So
no, that's cool. So how do you guys get the cars to do, you know, and cause, you know, like I was talking to Jason last night or yesterday or something, and, you know, and I was kind of like, dude, like I don't ever, you know, here in Orlando, and it just could be that I'm not looking for them or keeping an eye out, but I'm like, man, I don't ever really see, like, you know, barn finds or junk cars or, you know, whatever. And to, for you guys to be able to have that as like kind of your thing and be able to do it consistently, you know, how do you find them, and does it get hard to find them?
Absolutely. And it's gotten progressively easier as we've established ourselves within the community over here in Cleveland, Cleveland, Ohio. Is, you know, at the beginning, we were, you know, the idea was like, well, we'll do discounted details on, you know, disaster mom minivans, and that's how we'll be able to keep the steady flow of trash cars. So a lot of it was like more disaster detailing where, again, you know, it was a mom's minivan. But then it was funny because we had my uncle had actually parked his Corvette in my garage. And it came from a separate garage and was covered in dust. It was a 74 split bumper Stingray Corvette. And we had let it sit in the barn in the garage for like months. And we're like, well, we can always do that, but we didn't know how it'd perform. Well, that video ended up doing really, really well. I think it's probably around like 3 or 4 million views now. But so that video was confirmation that, like, okay. And we're car guys at heart too. So it made sense for us to pursue more enthusiast vehicles that we thought were cool. You know, we realized that people want to see a combination of both extremely dirty, neglected, quote unquote, abandoned vehicles, but simultaneously some vehicle that either reminds them of you know, vehicles that they're passionate about, or a vehicle that their grandfather or father owned, something that gave them more of an emotional connection to just the, you know, I guess just the aesthetic or the ASMR detailing that, you know, we kind of started with. So I guess the long or the short is that now people kind of know us in our community as like the guys that will do, because we do these cars for free. We don't charge a dime for any of the cars that we have on YouTube. And actually a lot of times we'll even offer, you know, like finder's fees, and we'll even pay people for the privilege, because we also need it at a very, specific time. We need them to clear out, you know, their schedule in order to allow us to go and pick up the vehicle. So, you know, there's a bunch of different stages, that's taken us to this point, but now, you know, now it's actually getting to the point to where people from out of state are contacting us and wanting to have their vehicles dropped off here for, you know, for one of the videos. And so it's really cool that now at this point that they're starting to find us instead of us having to go out and find them.
No, that's cool. Yeah. Now, has, you know, obviously the History Channel's Dirty Old Cars, do you think that's helped in any way, or do you think no, like people are watching TV or watching TV and people are watching YouTube or watching YouTube?
Yeah, I think it's completely different format. It's a completely different format and completely different audience, I think, especially in the way that they, I mean, I guess the base idea is the same, where they go out and find the cars and then clean them up. But I think a lot of even still what we do is aesthetic based, you know, watching, you know, the before and after, where Dirty Old Cars is more personality based. At least I've seen a couple of videos or a couple of their streams on Discovery, I think. And so it's similar, but at the same time, very much different. And I can't imagine that they have more engagement than some of the detailing channels on YouTube. You know, 10 million, or we've never done that, but, you know, I know Larry or Detail Geek have done 10, 15 million views a month, which is, you know, it's a big number. So,
yeah.
So I don't know how much crossover there is. There's probably little to none. But it's cool that's even on their radar. We actually had interviewed for, Discovery for one of their shows. I think there was a blessing, in the fact that we didn't get the the pitch, so
right.
I'm thankful for that, because you don't want to have, at least in my opinion, you don't want to have someone behind the scenes telling you like, actually no, do it this way, or you know, hey, what if we caused a little drama here, or we planted the car there. And we get
that. How do you bring that up, man?
Well, I know which ones they plant. I can tell, you know, it's not like, you know, I know what dust and dirt on a car looks like.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud that we've never, you know, I guess sacrificed that authenticity, even though everyone thinks there's so many cars that they think that we have. But you know, truth be told, it's all how we found it. So
yeah, no, I think from watching some of the videos, you know, that you guys do, you know, it doesn't look staged, you know, to me, at least the ones that I've watched. I mean, it looks like, holy shit, you know, like kind of things, you know, and that was one of the things that, you know, when we talked to a couple of the guys from Dirty Old Cars, you know, and we asked, you know, and of course they're going to say, no, they weren't staged, but I mean, you could kind of tell, but you're right. I mean, definitely when we talked with Noxie, you know, I mean, he, you know, definitely said that the filming slowed them down and doing the work, because, you know, they'd be like, well, let's try this here, or let's do this. And, you know, they're kind of like, look, we got one shot at compounding this car. If you don't get it, we can't go and like dirty it back up and repolish it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys got a lot of creative freedom in your video.
And that's exactly. And I don't even know. I don't even know what monetary compensation they would be able to offer, for us to not have ownership and then not have the freedom. And I'm very, very thankful that, you know, fiscally we do well. And then, like you said, you know, the freedom to be able to choose and create our schedules. And it's me, my business partner, Brent, and then a team member who's my best friend, Mike. So it's just us hanging out in the shop every day, you know, messing with each other and, you know, being idiots, but it's much more of a hang than it is, you know, than it feels like a job. So I never would want to trade that, even if, you know, even if the money was better, it wouldn't satisfy. And then you also don't have any ownership. And I feel like you, give up your ability to, feel the direct correlation, of effort to growth. You know, the studio is going to make, you know, if it does really well in that first year, say they're getting, you know, millions and millions of views, they're not going to get a pay raise, you know, until they re-sign their contract.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then they're kind of stuck in that cycle of like, well, we got to keep going so we can get to the next contract. And you never know if that's even going to come or if the negotiation, you know, it's going to go well. So,
yeah, independence. Have you guys ever been, you know, called out to a car or somebody, you know, wanted to bring you a car or something like that, that you turned down, that was just not right, or just too much, or, you know, that maybe, you know, the expectation level of being what you guys could legitimately do versus what they wanted to be done?
It's funny because there's never been a car that's been too bad. But there's been many cars that are too clean, or they don't have the right, you know, they don't have the what we know is going to work well across all platforms. So there's actually been, thankfully, only once that we had. It was a 65 Fairlane, I think that was a year. Okay. Either way, it was a great car. The guy was the nicest guy in the world. He was really cool, and we dragged it back to the shop and we did the full detail on it. And within the last like couple hours of the last day of filming, we were like, this just doesn't feel like it's up to the standard of what people expect, which is something that's like extra, you know, extraordinarily messed up. And so after whatever it was, 20 hours of work, we were like, well, let's just scrap it. And we did all the work and towed it back to him for free. So because obviously you're not going to charge them, but especially when it was going to be free no matter what. But so ironically, there's been plenty of cars where we've had to turn them down because they aren't bad enough. But there's never been anything that's been too bad.
So do you just do you guys just scrap all that footage, or do you save it and, you know, maybe use it in a compilation or like a clip or something?
Yeah, it just gets scrapped. But it is kind of amazing that we've been able to keep up the pace of one car a week for whatever it is, 3.5 years. So I think we have a little bit over, maybe it's at like 150 videos now, maybe 160. I'd have to check. But I know it's getting up there. So Yeah, very proud of the consistency.
No, that's cool, man. Well, listen, let's jump into a commercial break real quick. We'll come back and talk some more about barn finds and dirty cars and all that fun stuff. We'll be right back.
Cool.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
You know, I kind of missed the little jingle at the end of that. Go now to
jingles. Jingles. We need to get RJ a PDR jingle.
We have one.
Do you?
Awesome. Yeah, and so it's funny. It's funny you bring that up. Somebody had sent one. I guess one of the last times I did it, and he actually, I guess whatever, recorded it and then synthesized it and then sent it back to us. And in our most recent, it was a Gran Torino video. We got to actually use it for the first time. So
nice.
It is funny. That's funny that you mentioned that.
Nice.
But
yeah. So like, how do you guys split time? I mean, are you still running the business and have the business primary and then do these cars 1 or 2 days a week or something like that for content? Or is the YouTube kind of primary and now the business kind of is just, you know, whatever?
Yeah. So, and I guess to start the beginning with all that, when I started detailing cars, I didn't know where I wanted it to take me. And I didn't know if I wanted to have a big shop with multiple, you know, employees and lots of volume. I didn't know if I wanted to go more niche and do like a boutique detail shop and PPF and ceramic coatings. And, it's difficult to hire people and it's difficult to work alone. So, you know, I was always trying to figure out how to find, you know, what worked for me best. And, you know, when we started the YouTube, it was supplementary income. It took whatever, 4 months, 5 months for it to be any income. But, you know, we started to see some revenue from that. And then, slowly but surely, with lots of doubt in between, we finally have gotten it to a point to where, I would have to have a extremely large business in order to do what we're able to do across YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat. And the cool thing is, and it's actually, it'd be great for you guys as well, is anyone that starts with making long form content like we did on YouTube, I think it's probably the most difficult to gain a following on because you need more attention, you need people to buy in, and it's it's oversaturated in the, and you know, compared to short form where, excuse me, the amount of reach is significantly more, and somebody, you know, might be more inclined to follow you based on 30 seconds versus 10 minutes. You know, that's right, it's a big ask of this short attention span world that is here now. So we've been lucky that, you know, the long form is where we started, and we're able to cut that down into bite-sized pieces that we can then spread across all these other platforms. With the different streams of revenue from all those different platforms, we've built it to be pretty sustainable. And even when we've lost streams of revenue, somehow the gap gets filled by, you know, a new program. Like, for example, TikTok right now has something called the creativity bonus program. I don't know how many views each month you have to have or followers you have to have in order to apply for it. But they're finally starting to pay creators pretty well. I think $1 RPM, so $1 for every 1,000 views. And it's views, the way they calculate it is the amount of time. So I think it's like 15 seconds that equates to like a monetizable view. But you know, if you figure $1 per 1,000 views, and then you have a video that gets, you know, 3, 4, 5 million views, it's $5,000 off a video that was, you know, 1 minute and 11 seconds long. So it's, you know, and that's a clip from the YouTube video that made revenue, and there's a brand deal that made revenue, and then Facebook Reels, now they have ads on Reels, so you can monetize short form content there. So it's silly because you can make one piece of content and then cut it up and dip, double dip, triple dip it across different, different platforms. And we're still within the short form realm. We're still at just the top of the iceberg. We're not even into full maturity with any of these platforms in short form. So, so it's cool. There's a lot of opportunity for any business, any podcast to get themselves out there and to actually monetize content that they already have.
Yeah, that's our thing. I mean, I think Jason and I have, you know, one of the things that we've kind of struggled with is, you know, Jason can go in and clip a good section out of this, but the problem is just the video setup. So like if we were to take this, you know, right, and then you're putting it into a landscape, you know, type of format, it doesn't, you know, somebody's chopped off, you know, like you're middle bottom. So you would be fine, but then me and Jason are top left and right, so we would be cut in half. So we've got to figure out a way that, you know,
we could do like this for a second or two. Can we not do that? Nope, can't do it while we're live.
So what I would do
section, but like
what I would do is I would find and you see this a lot with other audio based channels on YouTube, a few that I listen to periodically. It's something completely irrelevant to the context of the conversation. There'll be someone playing Minecraft, and I don't even know if it's the person that's talking, but it's
just something play the audio over it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So people are still, they're still listening. And you could do it to
do like a YouTube or do it to like a detailing video. And exactly. Play the audio over it.
Exactly. Yeah. So you find a
port. Jesus Christ, dude. Been sitting here for months thinking about this shit.
All you had to do was talk to RJ, man. Easy, dude.
Yeah.
All you had to do was talk to RJ.
Thinking too much.
And then also, and especially for short form content, it would fare well for you to pick some kind of, you know, you do want to play good or bad. The engagement is always good. You know, it's always going to grow the channel. It's going to get out to more people. So you almost have to play a game where, and you don't have to sell your soul, but you still have to play the game of like, I guess what the internet is, which is a little bit of shock, a little bit of a controversial statement. Yeah. Like for example, you know, I always go over this with Kilmer, you know, he should be doing videos talking about how the Harbor Freight Bauer DA can do just as good a work as a Rupes, depending on who's using it. So he could do a whole, you know,
Pan the organizer is like the king of that, honestly.
Yeah. And it's just about poking buttons and and also knowing like how far too far is, and also being, you know, still respectful to truth. But, you know, there's still, you know, clickbait is and everyone it's a real thing, and everyone understands it, too. You know, when you click a YouTube video, you almost expect that there is going to be some payoff to the clickbait, but it's not going to be, you know, as crazy as it sounds, but you're still entertained. Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea, man. We got to get on that.
I can't believe it's just that easy, too.
Yeah. See, that's because we focus more on the audio and he focuses more on the video. So that's going to be something. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so even when you are doing like one little thing, if you don't consume short form content on, you know, a large level, one thing to like, you know, so say it's a detailing video where you guys are voicing it over, you know, having, instead of it just be audio, have the subtitles. We all watch videos and we see the subtitles pop up as people are talking. I can't remember the stat, but it's something like, I'm going to get it wrong, but it's a huge percentage of people that watch videos without their sound on. Because they're in public, or you know, they can't be loud, or they're laying in, you know, next to bed with their spouse or whatever, and they don't want them to hear what they're watching, whatever it is. So like even a little trick like that allows an audio podcast to be able to transfer to a visual,
right? And a lot of that stuff is there's software for that you can, you know, it's automatic. It's not like you have to go in and type it and everything. You just what's that one that I was using? I think CapCut has that, where you, and because that's where they do like all the different accents and, you know, voices and stuff that you see on TikTok, and you just plug the video in, and then you just pick how you want it to sound, and then it'll do it on its own. Sometimes it doesn't get the right word or the right spelling or something like that, but you know,
even that will get people commenting though, you know, when it's you know, the spelling is, you know, it's funny what people will focus on and what will go viral. It's silly.
Yeah, no, that's nuts. So have you had a favorite one that you've done, like one that was just like so bad, or maybe just such a cool car, or just like, you know, whatever, that you're like, you know, as much of a pain in the ass it was, that was my favorite one to do.
Yeah, I'll give two, both within different categories. So favorite car that we've ever done was a 1994, I believe it was 94, Mazda RX-7, you know, the FD. It's the one from
Fast and Furious. Oh, was that the 8800 mile one? Dude, I watched that last night. That was a good one. Yeah. And I watched it just because it was an RX-7. I was like, dude, that's a badass car.
And it was a cool story. Old guy, old ex-Vietnam guy. I don't know where he was stationed, but at some point he spent time in Japan and he fell in love with the culture and the cars. And so he had an FB RX-7 next to it. And then he had you know, this FD. So, an 8,800 miles. It was, you know, apparently he went too fast one day on the highway and decided to park it. And that was like in 1999. So it was just frozen in time with such low mileage. So that video actually ended up going, I think it reached YouTube's trending page, which was a first for us and might be a last, who knows, but it was very cool, with the response that received. But, as far as like, a car, 'cause a lot of the cars that we do, you know, unfortunately, we hope that that's the initiative for the owners to take it to the next level, or we hope that it'll at least go, for parts, and it'll live on in some way. You know, we do love these cars. We do hope that we're saving them in some way, shape, or form. But the reality is a lot of these people aren't going to have the money to do, you know, full engine swap or whatever the car might need. You know, sometimes they go right back to the owner, and who knows if they ever even touch it again. So that car, I know for a fact, I know the brokers that bought it. And I know that they did very well when they went ahead and got it to the private collection of whoever ended up buying it.
So let me ask you this, because in the video you did say, or I'm guessing it's you, or I don't know if it was Brent or whatever, you did say, you know, let us know what you think this vehicle is worth, you know, as whatever. So, I mean, can you say what it ended up going for?
I never even found out. I don't even know what they bought it for, and I don't know what they ended up selling for. My guess, if I was going to, I bet they probably handed the gentleman at least 50,000.
And then
I would imagine they probably put about 10 into, you know, a full engine rebuild. Cause it is the 1.3 liter, what they call it, the wankers. Is that it?
Yeah,
the rotary. So
yeah,
I think they're called wankers, but I might be wrong. But anyway.
No, it does start with a W.
Wankle,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's a wankle
like that. Yeah, wankers.
Yeah. And I only know that because I had a friend growing up that had some two turbo twos. Like, he was a big turbo two RX-7 guy.
I love the car. I just think it's so beautiful. Yeah. So I'm sure they probably ended up selling that for 80 plus, maybe 90.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I would think.
So they did well. And the funny thing is that video did so well that, you know, we probably did almost equally as well. So it was, really just a major blessing. But that's like, you know, you're around for so long, you've done so much work. That guy that bought it, he brought us a couple other cars, E30. 3 series a while back. So anyways, we've done plenty of work, so that everything built up to that moment. But that was my favorite car because of you know, obviously the cachet and you know what that kind of meant to me watching Fast and Furious movies growing up and whatnot. But the one of my favorite videos that we ever did was the it's a 50s, maybe it's a 54 Studebaker Champion. I don't really even care for Studebakers. I thought it was a great looking car. I thought it had like a lot of personality, but you know, I don't want one. But at the same time, the gentleman that owned it was just this very nice older gentleman. And you could tell there was so much emotion in the car when we went and picked it up, and he was so excited. And he ended up, I was very proud of the video because there was so much of a great story within him and then within the car and what we found as far as like the rat's nest and or a mouse nest and whatnot. And the end result was great. But also the gentleman asked me to if I would, you know, pull the wheels off and get the tires replaced with some white wall cokers. And so I'm like, yeah, of course, you know, I'll go down to some and I'll pick them up for you. And I'd love to do that. So,
yeah,
I did. And then, come to find out that those, you know, some of those older luxury vehicles from the 50s, they had reverse starts on two of the studs. They thought that on the left side of the car, that when you would drive, it would walk the nut off the lugs and obviously be a hazard. So
tighten it back and then tighten it forward. Yeah.
Well, no, so it's all completely reverse red. So instead of being righty-tighty, it's lefty-tighty. Yeah, so that the idea is that, like, you know, you would drive and it would get tighter.
At least if a couple of them fell off, a couple of them would stay on, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, they would never fall off. The rotation of the tire, the idea was that it would always keep the nut from walking off. But weirdly enough, somebody at some point must have changed the hubs, and they put those studs on the right side of the vehicle, and so I'm there with an impact driver, and I blew off a stud.
I was like, oh man,
damn it, that sucks. And then I did it to another one, and I was like, what is going on? Like, am I just this stupid? And I'm not gonna say I knew that they use left-hand threads. I had no idea either, so I probably would have done the same thing on the other side too. So I blew off all the studs because I was so pissed. So I just blew the rest of the studs off because I was like, wow, it's got to come off somehow. And I got to replace these anyways. So the long of the short was there was like a moment in that video as well where I'm just like, you know, guys, I made an awful mistake here. I had to search the country for the full hub assembly. It was like a $600 mistake when it could have been a $200 mistake, but I didn't know what I was doing in replacing the parts. And then it also could have been a $0 mistake if I would have just looked and seen the R that was stamped into the top of the lug. So into the face of the lug. So anywho, I was very proud of that video for not only the story that was told, the gentleman and his story, the end result of the car, but then also, you know, kind of a little bit of insight into how I feel that, you know, when you mess something up, you got to own it and fix it. So I thought it was a good example of everything that I guess we stand for.
Right, right, exactly. When you guys do the polishing on the paint, especially with some of those, you know, cars sitting for a long time, and you know the paint's probably not that good. Even the RX-7, like the RX-7 looked like the paint wasn't horrible, you know, because it looked like, you know, it sat in a garage, so it was, you know, not out in the sun and the elements and everything like that, but it still, you know, had a lot of swirling and stuff when you guys put the light on it. Like, how do you decide, like, I mean, are you guys just like, hey, we're going to do like, you know, a hybrid polish on it, or we're just going to do it a one step, or, you know, do you kind of go, hey, we could do like a full heavy cut and polish on this and, you know, make it look better. You know, how do you decide that?
So it definitely varies depending on the type of paint, the condition of the paint, how far gone it is. You know, sometimes, and the overall condition of the vehicle, like sometimes it makes no sense for me to cut down paint on a car that's already so far gone. But then other times too, it's like the car is so far gone that the only way that I can get any shine from it is if I sand it and then go through a rotary and then DA cut and then compound. So sometimes it's a breeze, and I like that 940 or that 442 that we just did recently, paint was relatively nice on it. And so, you know, a lot of times I'll use, you know, Davey Pizzo Burke, you know, his middle step, his yellow baby foam. Yeah. Soul's great. I mean, especially on some of those, like, I guess, darker colors, but not necessarily, black. You can get away with a lot, especially if you're using, you know, some finishing polishes with it. So I'm lucky that I've been able to work with all these different vehicles with different kinds of paints, enamels, lacquers, you know, base clear. And I've been able to work with them in all different varying conditions. And then there's also usually very little risk associated with like making, messing up.
Yeah.
Most of these cars are so far gone.
Right. Right.
So it's almost like I'm always working on a test panel, in a way, like right now we have a 88 Camaro that's in the garage right now, and it was repainted with a single stage enamel, and it's the worst paint I've ever, probably one of the, well, I can't say worst, but one of the worst I've ever worked with. And it's a nightmare. I called Kilmer, actually, Jason Kilmer, the other day. He didn't answer, but I was gonna say, like, what do I do? And I know the answer's already, there's nothing you can do, you know. You're chasing something that's unattainable. You can't shine a turd that much, but yeah. I have it shiny. It's just, it looks awful.
That's like, I watched the S4 you did, the B8, you know, and the hood was like toast on that, you know, like you were talking about how there was like almost like three different stages of the paint defect, you know, the starting, then the peeling, and then the, where it was, you know, completely peeled. I watched that one because I like most people, I love that S4. We had one, we had an 05, but it was black, you know, years ago. And I absolutely loved that car. Kind of wish we wouldn't have gotten rid of it, but that was like, I mean, we had it in, I think we got it in 06. We got it like a year old, from some doctor, drove it and put like 20,000 miles on it in a year and then traded it in. So we got a good deal. And then it was like, what was it, like 2006, 2007, when like gas prices went through the roof and you've got a 4.2 liter V8, you know, manual that just guzzles gas. And we were like, you know, we probably should get rid of it. But yeah, I liked watching that video because I love that car. And that was such a pretty color blue too. I mean, even as bad as that paint was on it, you know, just the you know, polishing that you did do on it really, you know, made it pop out a lot more and everything. Like, what kind of expectations are these people looking for too, when, you know, when they're giving you a car, and, you know, I mean, do they understand like, hey, we're just going to kind of polish a turd kind of thing and make it look better? Yeah. Or are they looking for it to, you know, look like it could cross the auction block at Barrett Jackson when you're done with it?
Yeah. Most people have very low expectations, especially because it's of no cost to them.
Yeah.
And because of the, you know, this car was sitting for the last, let's say a car sitting for someone, you know, in someone's barn or garage for 15 years, you know, they haven't washed it, they haven't cared for it. So they don't even understand what you know, what that last, you know, 10% of show car detailing even means. And even with that RX-7, I you know, I got it pretty close to you know, it could have gone across bare jets, and I think people would have the paint would have been a point of a negative point on that car. I was proud of the end result, and then right before I was going to drop it off, the guy wanted me to the new owners wanted me to wax it, and I was like, I sealed it, like, it's fine. And he's like, oh, there's salt on the road, whatever. Anywho, I had a fresh wax pad, and there must have been something that I didn't blow out when I was applying the wax, and it caused a couple hairline scratches here and there. And you know, could have jeweled it and got it away, you know, gotten it away, removed it easily, but it had to go back to him within like the next 30 minutes. So anywho, you know, some cars have higher I guess expectations, like that one obviously did. And I mentioned that to him, and he didn't care. He's like, whatever, it's still gonna sell for what it's gonna sell for. So it's funny, that's because true. You know, the way that we all look at cars is completely different than even collectors look at cars, and they'll never see paint on the level like Kilmer's eye or Maddie over at Matt's Wax or Davey P. Like, all these guys look at these cars, and Jason, you know, over at Chicago Auto Pros, like, you know, and you guys, I'm sure the way that we look at cars is a bit demented, truthfully, you know.
Yeah. It is. I had to take my daughter to the orthodontist yesterday morning, and we walked out and there was this black Mercedes parked like two cars over from mine, and it was in the morning, so the sun was like coming up at that just the right angle that it was like hitting on the rear quarter panel. And I mean, you could just see, you know, like somebody just took a rotary to it, just, you know, hologram. Like, it was hologram city. And I was like, I'd fight every urge to like take a picture, because you know, like I didn't want the person to be like, why are you taking a picture of my car, you know, outside the orthodontist office or whatever. But yeah, that was one of those ones that, you know, I looked at it and was like, they probably think it's fine. You know, they probably don't see anything wrong with it. And I'm just like, you know.
So yeah, once you really put all that into perspective, how particular, you know, our group of people, how obsessive and compulsive that we are when we look at cars, and then you try and extrapolate that out to the rest of the population, it's pretty uncommon. So I'm lucky as well that, you know, most of these people don't really even, I mean, I could probably just wash the cars and they would be ecstatic, but I always try, and you know, I still hold the cars to or the work that leaves to a certain standard, especially now that some of these cars are being, you know, sold to, you know, other people in the world. And you know, you don't want them to receive the car and be like, wow, those guys at WD, you know, they're hacks. So I always, you know, and I couldn't walk away from a car knowing that I didn't do it right. So
right. Now, when you said you had a you know, you put a sealant on that one, even though they wanted you to wax it, like, are you just doing like a spray sealant, or are you actually coating TEC them?
582. Technician's Choice 582, which I think is the greatest product that's ever been made for the detailing world.
I've been saying that shit for years. That shit is bomb.
Cheap, and you can utilize it in a million different ways. It's the best. So a lot of times we just wipe it on. I use it on my own cars, and some of my cars are coated. My
truck isn't. Something to throw on and give them a little, you know, and then let them do whatever kind of deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And most of the time, you know, they could care less what's on there too. So, so there's definitely, you know, I guess you assess every car individually, and the owner and the, you know, how much the vehicle's worth, and you know, thankfully, or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, thankfully for us, most of these cars are in pretty rough shape to begin with that are covered in all this dirt. But you know, what really, really, does well on YouTube is cars that are in great condition, but they also have a lot of dust and dirt, so that you get the full I guess the full satisfaction of like, wow, this car actually looks brand new and is going out. Oh, look at Brent and on the live. He just, how do you, oh, he's from YouTube right now. So I wonder how that popped up on his, did you guys tag us in the feed? He must've just got it on his phone.
Jason made a post earlier, on the podcast page and tagged you guys on it. So yeah, maybe, or I don't know.
I didn't even tell him I was doing this too. He was here, we were filming earlier. But I figured, and you guys can have him on separately if that, entices you guys.
Yeah,
he has like such great. Yeah. He has such great insight into, social media. Oh, there you go. He has such great insight into social media and his eye for what, is attention grabbing and what's going to retain attention and his ability to package that. Like he can take, you know, 20 minutes of us messing with a car and then edit it down into like 1.5 minutes of just, you know, a real sizzler roll. And he's phenomenal at what he does. So it might be a fun one for you guys to do.
Yeah,
as well.
No, we could definitely, cause again, I mean, with Jason kind of, you know, taking on the graphic design type role with all the things that he's been doing, like with our background and with the ads and all that stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, it would definitely probably be somebody good for him to talk to, especially with, you know, being able to do the stuff for social media that, you know, we would love to do more of. We're just, both of us kind of get tied up and get busy and forget about it. And then it's, you know, it's always one of those things like, shit, we should have, you know, whatever. I got one last one, and then Jason's got anything. Otherwise we'll kind of wrap it up. With all the dead mice that you find in the car, have you ever come across live ones?
There was one in the shop today, actually. We picked up I don't even know the year. It's a Nash. It's called a Super Nash. I wasn't even familiar with them prior, but it's like, it almost looks like a Hudson Hornet. And it has like a similar shape, but it's real long. It's kind of cool because the seats will all fold down too and create like a bed. Like the idea was that you could, you know, tow your family around in it, but then also go camping in it. And we got it on the trailer and we were taking it off, and sure enough, you know, there's a mouse running around on the trailer going back and forth. But we have no kill traps that that we set up, and we probably catch, because I park my cars here too, and if they eat through the wiring on my BMW, I'll freak out. So I try and make sure that they're handled, and I also, we take them down to the park and we drop them off. But yeah, we found countless dead mice, countless live mice at this point. Spiders? Spiders? Not so much. Not many spiders. I mean, they're around for sure.
Was it I think it was the S4 video I was watching today. There was a little spider on the back window, and you guys were talking about naming it or whatever. And you're like, nah, he's not gonna survive the wash. Yeah.
We did a TVR 1600, I can't remember exactly, a goofy weird kit car from a UK builder, but we did this TVR, and when we pulled back, there's ants everywhere, and I can't, oh yeah, mm-hmm. He's already chiming in, but we pulled back the carpet, and there was a whole horde of ants. Like, I'm, you know, there must have been a couple thousand, 3,000-4,000 ants in this car. So we had to tear the whole interior up and clean up. But that's actually the only time that I was like, you know, getting the heebie-jeebies, because there were so many of them. And then we bug bombed it, and then we had to bomb it a couple more times. I mean, there were so many bugs, ants in this vehicle. So I'm fine with mice.
As like one of those ones afterwards, like you go home and you're like, you feel them on you. You're like,
yeah. Like, and then actually the night that I finished it, I had to drive out to Chicago for the creator event. So, I was itchy for about 2 hours into that drive.
Oh my God. An awesome skeleton.
Yeah. And a Buick Skylark Skylark. Buick, yeah. So anyways, that possum had crawled into the engine bay at some point and decided that's where he was gonna take his last breath, and it was a full-blown skeleton with the head facing out and it was massive too. It was huge, big teeth as well. It's crazy the stuff that we have found in cars as far as dead animals go, and some other odd oddities as well that probably can't be mentioned, but
I mean, it's a podcast. We say, listen. Hang on. It's after 9 o'clock. It's technically details after dark now.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely found a lot of interesting things, as well as plenty of stuff that I found in my own detailing escapades too. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's the best part, and it's crazy too, because like, you know, most detailers be like, oh my god, I can't believe this is the case, and we're like ecstatic because we know that like, that's content, you know. Oh my god, there's a huge mouse nest or ants. So it's like, you know, we get giddy because we're like, finally, you know, something big there. Here's a defining moment in the video. So
damn it, there was no mouse nests in this one. Yeah,
but we get that way when Noxu cried. We were like, yes!
Yeah.
Oh, so I don't know if I saw that video. Or that's Dirty Old Cars. He cried in one of the episodes.
No. We got him to cry. We got him to cry on the podcast.
Okay.
Because he was
a good cry, though.
We didn't bully him
because he's a redhead or anything.
It was a good cry, but yeah, he'll tell everybody it was allergies, but he was crying.
Yeah. That's cool though. It invokes emotion. You know, people feel that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No. We've had a few moments like that. I mean, shit. Derek at MTE crying, and then got me and you teared up, and yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we've had that's a few like that. You know.
Yeah, and that surpasses the content of, you know, the context of detailing. That's now we're talking about, you know.
Right. It's emotion. Human experience. It's personal. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So
exactly.
That's cool.
Jason, what you got?
Yeah. So one of my favorite ones was the Datsun 260. That one.
That was really awesome. Badass. That was cool. Yeah.
But do you guys still have it?
That got sold to a gentleman from, I think he's from Maryland. His name's Sparky Chopko. and he'll love that I shot him. He was the nicest guy in the world. And I actually had to hold it for longer than I really wanted. It was like a month and a half that I had to kind of store while he got the funds together, but true to his word, he came out and picked that car up, and he's going to do a full build. He texts me every now and then too, and keeps me updated, but, was just, you know, salt of the earth, just the nicest guy in the world. Felt bad cause I didn't have the time to go to dinner with him that night. But anyways, yeah, that car's out in Maryland, and, it's going to be fully rebuilt. He's going to do the wide fender flares and put it on some sweet wheels and redo the interior. And I can't remember if he was saying that. I can't remember what he said he was going to put in there. I have a feeling he was going to do like a K-series 4-cylinder, like Honda motor, just something out of the ordinary. But yeah, that car is spoken for, and I'm excited to see. I'll actually, he's one of those guys where like when it's done, I'll take a day trip out to Maryland and go. Yeah.
I'll be looking forward to seeing that, man. Cause the color of the paint was beautiful.
It was a pretty color. Speaking of, just because I think this is something that's similar, is we did that 57 Chevy, the sport coupe. We dragged that out of a barn. It's the one Kilmer came out and helped on it, and it was covered in, you know, it's literally growing plants out of it. The garage had fallen, the organic material allowed plants to grow. It was covered in moss and whatnot. And lichen and whatnot, but that car actually was sold to Robbie Layton, who's another large YouTuber, and he flew out from Utah, bought the car, and right now I don't know if you guys are familiar with Summit Racing, but they're doing a full drivetrain and engine and transmission swap. So I think they put LS7 in there, brand new transmission, new axles. I mean, it's almost getting like a full drivetrain, and then he's driving it back to Utah. So to see some of those cars, the cars that we really love to work on, and the fact that they're getting saved, and also the fact that, you know, something like the Bel Air is getting fixed, and then it's also creating so much more content for people to see. Like, that's like the coolest thing in the world for us.
Would you guys ever collab with Robbie like that, like maybe where you guys send him footage of what you guys did and he tags it on with footage that he did to kind of, you know, show one car to YouTubers kind of thing or something like that?
Yeah, so he actually we collaborated on the Bel Air video, and then we also did another video with him actually at the same time. He bought another car. It was a 75, not the split bumper Corvette, but another Stingray. And he bought that vehicle as well. He got it started for us. That's on our channel. And then he'll follow up with that car, I assume, at some point in the near future. It's sitting out in down south in Ohio. But both times Robbie has collaborated with us. I think the Bel Air has like 2.3, or actually I think that was a separate video. Anyway, the cars that he purchased from us, I think the one is like 2.5 million views, and then the other one has like 6 million views. So he's been a great help to the channel. And then he just was here with us for our upcoming video, that 1988 Camaro. And then he also was at a car show with us, handing out merchandise and meeting fans. So, and he's got a huge following. He might have less subs, but people really love that guy. He's awesome.
I could be wrong, because I haven't talked to Dave and Matt about it, but I know that September 30th and October 1st, one day Gloss University, entry training that they're doing is out there at his shop in Utah.
Yeah. 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 And that's, I think, cause Kilmer, Robbie flew out Kilmer for a video where, I don't know if he was teaching him what, maybe he was just doing wet sanding with them or helping him with the project, but that was my connection to Robbie. And it's so cool to see how, you know, good people in the industry are able to connect and help each other. So yeah, I know that they're doing that, that at his shop, and that's going to be, I can only imagine that, that's going to be a great turnout.
Yeah. Hopefully. I was talking with Dave today, and, you know, just like everything else that's going on right now, you know, people, you know, don't have a whole lot of money to travel and things like that. So it's getting hard, you know, they're finding it hard to fill seats, but they are at least filling seats. So that's the good thing. I know they just announced the Ring Brothers training, I think end of next month. Which I would love to go to again, but we're spending money to go to the Seattle, the Air Force One deal. So I'm not going to be able to do two trips in 1 month. So, I'll have to skip that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And for anyone listening, if you are looking for training, those guys are the real deal. Kilmer and AVP, and yeah, those guys know, and Matt, you know, they know what they're doing. They're about it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a cool thing. Jason, you got anything else, or we'll jump into the last commercial and then come back and wrap it up?
The last commercial, and we can wrap it up.
All right, we'll be right back. Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads, towels, got them, windows, wheels, interiors, paint, the all new men on a stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new bug sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two bucket system, glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube, check out our channel. And then the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And then the new wheel paw for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey everybody, Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes, and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer, and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we will not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at Rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
All right. it just made me think of a question I kind of forgot to ask you about. You guys, at least in, I mean, and again, I'm not a huge YouTube watcher, So I'm just used to, you know, every YouTube channel I watch, or every, you know, video I watch has the, you know, quote unquote YouTube ads, you know, that when you're getting to a certain point or whatever like that, YouTube throws an ad in. But you guys also do your own ads and stuff. Is that something that you guys have like searched out, or just people reach out to you and go, hey, you know, we see that, you know, obviously you got a big following and do huge numbers, we would love to send you, you know, a whatever, and, you know, have you guys, you know, do an ad for us or something like that? Because I know, like, you do, you know, like, there's a little pause in the video, and then you're like, hey, you know, we have these knives, or, you know, we have, yeah, you know, the print thing or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So they've all contacted us, and only one, Manscaped, had actually reached out to us direct from, you know, from the brand. Most of the time, the way this, I guess this system works is a lot of these brands outsource the integrated brand deals to these third party, third party
brand management companies or whatever.
Yeah, kind of. I always blank on what exactly they're called. I guess they're just digital media marketers, but basically they'll be the liaison between you and the brand will say like, hey, we're looking for this demo, we're looking for this kind of content, it needs to be G or PG rated. And so then it's kind of just like a plug and play for them to try and go and find these creators. So eventually you kind of get on a list and then distribute it across all these third parties, because everyone, it's crazy too, because like the amount that a brand would pay and then the amount the third party takes, say they take, you know, 10 or 20%. Sometimes there's even another third party in between, you know, you and then yeah, the third brand party. So,
yeah.
So it's like the amount of hands that are in the cookie jar before you actually get paid is a lot, but I won't complain, because we still kind of know where we have to be in order to leverage our audience. And right. I am proud to say that there's never been anything that we've promoted that we didn't believe in. Mm-hmm. There's been plenty of companies that wanted us to sell like whatever scooters or, you know, something that's just out of the, you know, it's, in my opinion, a little shilly. So everything that we use, either I continue to use daily. Actually, I just used my Manscaped trimmer today. I have one for my face now, so I don't have to cross contaminate. But
the new beard one.
Yeah, no, it's just it's the ball trimmer, but I just use. Two over the last couple of years, so now nice. I have one for each individual use. But I'm very proud that everything that we do use, either I continue to use or my family uses or my friends use. So it's that has been another saving grace, because again, you know, you have the YouTube revenue, the brand revenue, the short form revenue. So you know, when one kind of lags,
there's another one there to pick it up, kind of thing. Yeah. No, like I said, I mean, I thought that was kind of cool, because, you know, again, you know, the videos that I do watch or do see, it's usually just the automated YouTube ones. So to see that you guys actually, you know, putting together something, you know, kind of similar to what we do. I mean, with all these, you know, being very fortunate with all these detail brands believing in us and you know, sponsoring the show and things like that. I just thought it was pretty cool, and I meant to ask you about that and kind of forgot before we went to the wrap up. But
just to mention, all the ads that are on the channel, all the commercial breaks, I haven't used like some of the business building ones, but as far as all the products, I've personally been a consumer of a Viper chair, of you know, Car Supplies Warehouse, David over at a Burke. I've used all purpose soap. I might be leaving one guy, auto fiber. You know, I personally have used all these brands. So that's going to be really cool for you guys, knowing that, you know, those are the highest quality brands in the industry, and they're coming to you for the
right. Exactly. I mean, and that's why, you know, like in the beginning, you know, with our website and us having that vendor page, I really feel like, you know, it's, you know, our page should be the one-stop shop, because you're really going to get a link to all these great brands. And not that there aren't other great brands, but I mean, I feel like, you know, these are some of the best in the industry. And we are very fortunate that, you know, that they approached us, and, you know, kind of similar, like what you were saying. I mean, we, with the exception of Manscaped, that was the only one that we we searched out, and that was just because, you know, it was
your dream.
It was my dream. Like I had a dream of being able to go to MTE or SEMA with a duffel bag full of ball wipes, you know, and yeah, it started out as a joke. And then it was, you know, somebody, my kind told me, my buddy, and he's like, well, so why don't you just reach out to him? Like, well, all they say is no. And I'm like, yeah, why don't I reach out to him? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been very fortunate that all these brands believe in us and see what we're doing and, you know, and, you know, take their time and effort to help us out. So yeah, it's been a great ride so far. So we really,
especially cause you know, those guys too, you know, at O'Burke and at Carson, yeah. Like they're all such great people. So the fact that
they're all friends, creating, you know, and it's a, you know, and a lot of them, we were talking about on the podcast before, you know, we were getting monetized about it because, you know, we just believe in those products and the people behind them and everything. So yeah, it's been great.
Community.
Yeah. So listen, man, I appreciate you for doing this. You know, thanks for coming on and kind of giving us an insight to, you know, what it takes to be a barn find YouTuber. You are safe. I'm not going to try and compete with you. That's beyond what I want to do. A lot of work,
man. I commend you if you wanted to.
Nope. I mean, like I said, I was watching those videos today. The other one I watched was the Z3M Roadster
the one
underwater
lake.
You know, and I'm just like,
yeah,
I was like, I don't even want to vacuum that out, you know, and it was funny because that Jason, that's the video that I messaged our little chat group that me and Jason are in, and was kind of like, you know, with all the innovations in detailing, why hasn't somebody come up with like a better vacuumer or vacuum cleaner, right, than a shop vac? And you know, because like I'm watching you just like suck up all this dirt and mud and water, and it's like, you know, nothing against the shop vacs, it's they're badass, but you know, like, you know, you'd almost think that somebody in the detailing industry would be like, hey, like, you know, let's come up with something better, something in between a shop vac and an extractor, you know, like something that's going to do a little bit better of a job, or, you know, something.
Man, Rigid, shouts to Rigid, because like those suckers have been through hell and back with us, and they keep kicking. So I am proud to say that we've definitely done some of the worst, if not the worst cars on YouTube. So we're up there, you know, if it's not the absolute worst car, we're within spin range. So,
yeah. So listen, for everybody who's watching or listening and wants to go and, you know, check you out or whatever like that, give all the socials, all the finds, wherever anybody can find you, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So WD Detailing on YouTube, WD.detailing on Instagram. And I'm pretty sure WD Detailing on Snapchat, TikTok, wherever you consume content, except for Twitter, we're not there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, everywhere else you can find us. And then also go check out Robbie Layton or Jason Kilmer's Instagram for you know, other automotive content. And then also check out Kilmer's for some serious wet sanding tips as well. That guy, I mean, the stuff that he could teach you is amazing. But it was a pleasure. This is really cool what you guys have built. I'm glad that we connected.
It was really cool talking with you in Chicago. And it's kind of like I was telling Jason, you know, when we were outside talking and you were, you know, kind of like, yeah, so, you know, like how many followers do you have? And I was like, I don't know, we got like three. You're like third, or I think it was like 380 something. You're like 1,000, like that's awesome. I was like, no, 100, like, you know, like we're not a YouTube channel, we're a podcast. And you know, that's the hard part, you know, is because I think with YouTube channels, and especially like with what you do, it's that satisfying feeling, right? Like anybody's gonna watch it because they want to see something that's extremely dirty be clean, whether it's, you know, a car detail or maybe a house, you know, especially Hoarders, you know, like those shows and everything that people love watching. So I think
we're an inch deep, mile wide, and you guys are an inch wide, a mile deep.
Right. You know, it's hard because it's such a niche industry, and, you know, we're targeting a niche, you know, crowd, you know, so yeah, it is tough, but I mean, it's definitely grown, you know, over the last 3 years, kind of, you know, little bit by leaps and bounds, you know. So I mean, it's, you know, and I talked with Jimbo, you know, and Jimbo's like, dude, I've been doing this 9 years and I'm still like, you know, trying to figure it out. So, you know, like that's the benchmark I look at is I go, okay, well, you know, Jimbo's 9 years in and, you know, and still having a hard time, you know, so I think we're doing okay, you know?
Yeah. And if you love it too, you did it for free in the past, you're getting compensated in some way to where you can take an hour and a half out of a Wednesday night, and allocate it to that. And I'm sure all the back end stuff too. So, you know, the fact that a passion is creating any revenue at all, that's like the highest, feeling that I've ever gotten from YouTube, the views, money, sure, everything, all that's great. But at the same time, not even at the same time, above that, I work with my friends and I work with cool cars and meet great people. So, I mean, I'm very lucky.
That's the beauty of this is, you know, I get to share it with Jason, you know, and we get to talk to people that, you know, maybe we wouldn't have had the opportunity to talk to, you know, any other way just because paths wouldn't have crossed, you know. So do what? Did I lose you?
We talked.
I don't know. I can't.
Oh, yeah. His audio went out.
Yeah. Your audio went out. Oh, your audio's out. Can't hear you. He can't hear us. We can't hear him.
Oh, snap. His editor and partner just shut everything off.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he had enough limelight. He's done. Yeah. It's my turn now.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, RJ, I don't know if you can hear us, man, but. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
We'll let you go. I'll shoot you a text later or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, man. We appreciate you coming on. So I know you probably
can hear us. Hear you,
so yeah.
I can hear us.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, man. Bye. All right, man. So that's the Barn Find YouTube thing. What do you think, man?
Oh, dude, that was so cool. I definitely want to get his partner and editor on because I feel like that's just going to be something I need to take a notebook up for.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I almost think you probably need to have a conversation on
your own. Oh, yeah. I'll probably get offline with him too as well. I mean,
yeah. So, well, listen, everybody, if you haven't, you know, if you like watching YouTube videos like some of us do, definitely go check out WD Detailing. They've got a lot of cool shit, man. I mean, it's really if you cool just want to see disgusting stuff get cleaned, like I mean, it's,
and it's not corny either. Like
it's not.
They do a real good job. The whole production's really nice.
Yeah,
I really like it. I really enjoy it. And I don't enjoy detailing videos as much, but I watched like a lot of them, and I'm like, dude, I like that video. I like that car. Like you know, it's very engaging. It's very engaging.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, definitely. And you can tell there's a few clips that I saw where, you know, there's definitely kind of like the I don't want to say outtakes, but you know, kind of just where they're having fun in the shop, you know, and they leave that in. So, you know, you get that, you know, it's not just all work, whatever kind of thing. But definitely go check them out. Watch some videos, support them.
WD Detailing
on YouTube. Well, that's it, man. It's another Wednesday down. I've got to spend probably the next 30 or 40 minutes. Do what?
I got kicked off Facebook for a second. Like,
oh,
my whole screen went black. Yeah, my whole screen went black and everything.
Nice. I got to go and start downloading this and uploading it and getting it ready for you guys to listen to tomorrow while you're working. We are. Let me close out of Facebook here. The countdown to 100, real time. We are maybe if the Apple load, TikTok. I don't know. We're 95,000 and some change. I want to say it's 95,400 and some change. So please, go listen to some old ones. Yeah. 94 or 95,475. And you know, go listen to some old ones, help us get to that 100K. Again, like I said, our 3-year anniversary is coming up, around the 22nd of next month. So it'd be awesome to hit that. And yeah, RJ says to tell everybody to go follow me on TikTok, the podcast.
That That Sarah McLaughlin video is dropping tomorrow. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm going to have to remix the Sarah McLaughlin thing. That way we don't get sued or something.
Yeah. Find a cover version or something of it. So yeah, just please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button anywhere that you're listening to the podcast. And that's it. You guys have a good night, day, week, whatever it is that you're listening. We appreciate it. Thank you.